older you get. Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Every time I hear Tennessee singing that song, I'm not really sure if he understood our debt money system, but it was clear to me that debt was not making him very happy. But in any case, the fact of the matter is that when you use debt for money, and evidence of debt, which is what we use for money, that we're going to have debt, and we're going to have lots of it, and all the consequences of that. That's what Wealth Money Radio is about, the truth. So, you know, if you're looking for a website that's about the truth, it's wealthmoney.org. If you're looking for people that talk about the truth, it's this radio show. There ain't anybody else talking about the truth. They're just dancing all around it and talking about everything except what they need to be talking about, the root of the problem. And this is Wealth Money Radio. It's June 22nd, 2019. I'm Greg Soderbergh, and I'm here with Byron Dale. And again, the show is about the truth. It's about what we use for money, how it's created, how it's put into circulation, how that affects our lives, and it does, and proposed legislation, a solution to this problem called the American Transportation Act that would make everyone's life so much better. You can read it, you can print it, or you can email it. It's right on the homepage of wealthmoney.org, where we've also added some new things you'll be interested in. Probably enjoy reading and find informative. So the number to call, again, is 347-884-9499. Last Saturday, we talked with the people from Americans Against Foreclosures, and who wouldn't be against that, right? But anyway, Byron, I was kind of wondering what you thought about that show and the foreclosures and all that stuff.
Well, it was interesting, and it was interesting at how many people were involved in trying to fight foreclosures, but it was also interesting how little of them actually had any knowledge of money. And it's a strange thing because I've talked to a lot of people I've never met before this last week, and I asked every one of them if they've ever thought about where money came from or how it was created or how it got into circulation so we could use it. And I've never found a single person that's ever even give that a thought. One person had thought about it a little bit, but that was it. And it's amazing how it's something we use every day, something we have to have in this society, and yet nobody has a clue what it is, where it comes from. They talk about dollars, you know, all the time. But you can never ask any, if you ask anybody, well, what is a dollar? What's the statutory definition of a dollar? They have no idea, have no concept of it. But they're always worried about, like on the show last week, of all the people who was being foreclosed on and what they could do about it. And the one woman, especially, her husband had died, and of course he apparently was a bigger income person. And, of course, when he went, well, then a lot of the income went. And then, of course, the banks immediately went after everything they had, you know. And, of course, they owed money on most everything because that's the way the system is. You have to owe money, but nobody knows what money is. Nobody has any concepts about it.
Well,
but
you,
before we go on, I see rules on. Go ahead, and then we'll see the rules on, and we'll go there. Go ahead, Greg.
Okay, well, you reminded me of some things when you were talking there, you know, about foreclosures, and when you understand how the money's created and put into circulation, somebody has to get foreclosed on sooner or later because there isn't enough money to pay these debts. And the other thing about it is that, like that lady when her husband died and all of a sudden her financial situation changed, you know, the money has to be there for her to be able to get on time so that she doesn't get foreclosed on. But we wouldn't even have all these foreclosures if we didn't have to have the debt in the first place. And we do not have to have debt for money to exist. That's the way it is now, but it doesn't have to be that way. And the other thing, it's comical because you're talking about, you know, you ask people, you know, where money comes from, how it's created, and nobody knows. And that's true because that's my experience. Nobody knows anything about how it's created. But at the same time, the phrase, and you hear it all the time, those very people that can't tell you how money's created will tell you how much money they're making and how much money their friend made and how much money can you make. And everybody's out there supposedly making money, but none of them know how it's made.
It's silly. Making money is just a terminology. If somebody started it, doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't have any meaning to it either.
Why should we use a term that doesn't have any meaning? I mean, this term is rampant, and it has no meaning.
A lot of other terms are that way too. I can tell you all kinds of words that really have no great meaning, but people use all the time, and these in a way that it doesn't even mean.
Ask Ruth if you make it any. Ask Ruth if he made any money this week.
Well, Rule's there now. He can talk to us. So I'm sure he asked you, so I'll let him answer that question.
Yeah, I'm just rolling in the money I'm rolling in the money so much I'm creating debt at the same time, and trying to keep the balance is a struggle, let me tell you.
Rule, do you happen to have any idea what cattle sell for now, like calves?
I don't. I tried to follow a little bit up last week, and I just I lost track of it.
I got an email a while back. Go ahead, Greg, and then I'll talk.
Well, I was just going to ask.
I got an email a while back that from somebody, and they said it cost $875 to raise a calf from birth to weaning, and I just couldn't comprehend that price. And so I was just wondering how many dollars a pound, you know, if it's $1.25 a pound or $2.25 a pound or what. I mean, it's got to be a pretty big price just to break even with calves, with the cost of raising a calf being that much. But I haven't been able to find any information on what cattle are bringing now, and I haven't had a lot of time to work on it either. My time's been taken up with other things. But you go ahead, Rule. We wanted to hear what you had to say.
Well, I had an interesting. I talked to Greg this morning, and I had an experience contacting Washington D.C. a week ago, and I wanted to talk to the Department of Labor a little bit about the transfer of this educational body, the Job Corps Civilian Center, that was started in the '60s, and. You know, they were going to close 10 centers, and then the remaining were going to be transferred over to a private contractor under the Department of Labor for more. The USDA did not want it anymore because they said they could focus more on what they're supposed to be doing, whatever that is. And so the outcry, you know, the outcry was so enormous that yesterday, within hours, Trump reversed his decision, and now they say it's too important to give up. But when I contacted the Department of Labor and asked them, you know, all about this, they didn't even know what the Job Corps was, and they're the ones that actually run it. And my only understanding
they run
of that
it and
is
they don't even know what it is.
No, and my thinking is that they're just too big to manage any. You know, they're just so big that I mean, the lady when I called up, I was asking her about all this transition. And she said, well, I don't understand what you're asking. And I said, well, let me repeat it again. And she said, well, let me go ask somebody that might have some information for you. And she came back and she said, I've got some information on Job Corps. Is that what you're asking? I said, no, I want to know, you know, who the contractor is that will be taken over and what, you know, what that will look like and da-da-da-da. She said, I don't know. I have a clue what you're talking about. So I got no answer from them, and then all of a sudden it got reversed yesterday, so I didn't have to,
to know, because it wasn't going to happen now, huh?
Yeah, there was too big of an outcry, and they said it was too important to close, and you know, we can't let government employees are too important to, part of society. They contribute too much financial ability to a society like ours out here, according to our paper, that we can't afford to let that happen.
So, Rule, was there something about grants involved? We talked a little this morning about that. I was wondering if you could say something about that, and then I want to talk a little bit about the nature of grants.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a whole new thing. It wasn't connected with that, but the public school system was having a big, I call it a celebration, a big hoo-ha in the paper that, you know, that they don't have to, you know, struggle so much again because they just were awarded federal grant money or state-federal combination to pick up the slack that was needed so the schools can you know, carry on business as usual, and yeah.
So they were excited because they got money, and it was a gift, more or less, a grant.
Yeah.
They don't have to pay it back. They just get to spend it, and it's wonderful and everything. And you hear people talking about the wonder and the of grants and how wonderful they are, and you have grant writers, people that. They're professionally trained how to write grants so that they can get money for themselves or for someone else. But yet, no one thinks about the fact that there could be no grant money to give until there was the debt first, because all money is created and put into circulation as a debt to someone. So now the grant receiver is all happy and dancing because they got saved by the grant because they had a money shortage and the grant helped them out. But somebody else, and in this case, it's you and I, the taxpayer, we're on the hook to pay that money back. And so I want people to think more about grants, and all it is loan principle. And you may not be in debt for it when you get that grant, but someone is. And most of the time, we wind up paying for these grants with what? Loan principal that we've borrowed, and we pay it through taxation. In this case, it's going to be money that has to go back to the government that borrowed the money to give the grant. Byron, am I on point on any of this grant thing?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way I understand it. And, of course, that's a problem because, see, nobody ever thinks. And I've been on Facebook some, but not this last week. I just haven't had the time. But it's amazing how many people on the Internet, on the Facebook, tell you that, well, that's not true. Money isn't created by loans. And then I ask them, well, just how does it work and how do they do it? And they never seem to have an answer. It always comes back to, well, MMT says that. And so, you know, obviously, but it's amazing to me, because when I put something about money, I always give a source, you know, where I got my information from, the Library of Congress, or from the Treasury, or from the Federal Reserve itself, or, and yet they all say I'm wrong and can't be right. Well, then they tell me, well, it's this way, and so I say, okay, where did you get that information from? And very seldom do they have anybody, except one time he named a few people, and I looked them up on the internet, and I couldn't see where they had any real knowledge or where they got their money knowledge from about how the money system works. And it's just amazing to me that money is something we obviously have to have, and most of them it's called dollars, but yet nobody can give you a definition of a dollar. And one guy said there was three kinds of money, and he was kind of right in that, because he said that there was coins and printed currency and checkbook money. He didn't call it that, but that's what it was, money created by the banks. But I have looked into that, and there is no law that says that banks create checkbook money is money. It's not under the rules of law of legal tender. Now, the government, it clearly says any money the government creates is legal tender. But the only other money that isn't created by the government that is legal tender is a Federal Reserve note.
Well, that's interesting, Byron.
If you look, go ahead.
Yeah, that's interesting, because a listener emailed me, and he said that according to his Black's Law Dictionary, the definition of money in Black's Law Dictionary did not include notes. And so I looked it up in my Black. It says notes are not money according to the dictionary definition. And you know, those people that say, you know, we're not right, oh, all the money is not created, debt, that. Well, you know, and I know it. The very simple thing to ask those, and I started asking this question because years ago you told me you asked someone this question, and I thought it was just great. But when they say all money is not created as debt, and I ask them, I say, well, where can I go get some money that nobody has to be in debt for? Tell me the process and I'll go do it. And they can't tell me. You know, so that's what you need to ask those people. So, okay, if it's not all created as debt, how do I go get some? Tell me how to do that nobody has to be in debt for. That'll end their whole conversation right there.
Well, it does, because a long time ago I called a congressman. There was a congressman that was kind of ragging about the Federal Reserve. And I called his office, and this guy answered, and he was telling how he was an economist at some college in Kansas, and he'd wrote a book, and how the book went over and all this kind of stuff. And so I asked him, well, and he said there was money without debt, and I said, well, how in the heck do I get some of it? He just says, sell something. And I said, well, I've sold lots of things, but they always pay me with checkbook money, and isn't that debt? And he said, yes. So I said, well, where in the world would I go to get some debt-free money? And he thought a while, and he said, well, I guess you'd have to go to the Federal Reserve. I said, okay, I got one here pretty close to me. I'll run down. What do I do when I get there? Will they just give me the money, or how will it work? And all of a sudden, he didn't know, and we got into it, and all of a sudden, he said, it was clear that he couldn't answer the questions anymore, and now he was a big college professor in economics, but he just couldn't answer the questions, and all of a sudden, he said, oh, my God, I'm here alone, and every phone in the room is ringing, so I got to go, and he went, and it's kind of like a long time ago when I brought up the subject of money, most people have to go. It's just a strange thing what it does to them, I guess. And, you know, it's amazing, too, you talk to these guys. And there was one guy on the face, and he said I was wrong on some things and not right. And so I said, okay, explain to me where I'm wrong. And he really didn't, and he got into this. And So I sent some things from the United States Treasury that had sent to me in personal letters signed by different people, and I asked him what they said true or not true. And he finally said, well, it's not true. And then I think it was just the other day, and this morning I had a chance to look at it a little bit longer, that a guy wrote to him, one of these guys that's MMT and money's created by the government, and he was telling him, no, that's not true. Money is created by loans. So I have a sneak. He seemed to be pretty knowledgeable about how the banking system worked. I kind of wondered if he wasn't a banker or an ex-banker or something like that. I don't know. But it was kind of interesting to see how, you know, when it got right down to what the Treasury said, he just couldn't tell me where they was wrong. So I guess he had to admit they was right. And it's an amazing thing about this, because I was thinking this morning, it's kind of like a religion that we have, because, you know, religion is just a belief, and you've been taught that, and you believe it is, and so you just, that's what you believe. And that's the way it is with money. We've been taught that money is something, and dollars are something, but nobody's ever explained exactly what it is or where it came from or how it works or how do you get it. And in one of the letters I wrote to the Treasury a long time ago, they explained to me that, well, you know, when the Treasury prints the currency, they sell it to the banks at the cost of printing. And at the very first one I ever saw, the letter on that was a penny. So I send them a dollar and ask them to send me $100 bills at a penny apiece. And they said, well, it's more than that now. And so we talked some more. And so they explained how the banks have to put up collateral for, you know, when they get money. And when they get the currency. And so I thought, well, I'll do the same thing they did. And so I studied it all out, and I found out how I could actually send some of that collateral to them. And so I sent them a bigger check and asked them to send me a lot more $100 bills. And they wrote back and said, well, we don't do that way. We're not authorized to give any money to the people at all. All we're authorized to do with the currency is sell it to the banks. So it's an amazing thing how that works, and yet nobody seems to understand it. Are you back with us, Greg?
Yep, I'm calling back on a different phone. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Can you hear me?
Curious is all.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you well.
So I was just, okay. Well, before I drop the call, I want to know if Rule was still with us. I want to ask him something, but I just want to go back to this grant thing one more time.
Yeah, and Rule is still here, so you go over the grant and thing, and then you can ask him the question because he's still with us.
All right. Okay, so when people understand this grant thing, that it's money that somebody owes for and someone else is getting it and benefiting from it, but they're not liable for the money or anything, once they understand that, then if you accept it and you continue to go along with grants, what you're really saying is that you don't care about other people as long as you get what you want. And so I was going to ask Rule if he knew, he was talking a little bit about Facebook money, the Libra, if he wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's
I've
fine.
I've never heard of that before, so go ahead, Rule. I'd like to hear about it.
Yeah, well, all this week it seems like you couldn't turn a news station or you know, C-SPAN or something without the headline of Facebook coming out with their own new currency called the Libra, and they've got a whole bunch of mega corporations backing it, and they're basically you know, they're saying that they have more personal data on people than your own government, you know, which is probably true because they're so big. And it just makes sense for them, supposedly, to have their own currency. And so this week they meet with Jerome Powell and several others, congressmen and whatnot, to discuss this whole new phenomenon.
And Jerome Powell said he's not threatened, and he said, but he wants to know more about it. And so that's about all I know about it right now. I'm hearing more about it from Walmart. Walmart wants to go completely cashless, but that's kind of all I know right now until I do further research. But it seems to be that it's their stock has gone through the roof and it's gone crazy. So anyway, that's what I know.
So the first people to benefit. The first people to benefit from that sounds like Facebook. Whole stock went up. I'm sure they didn't intend for that to happen. But, you know, that Congressman Powell, he says what a lot of them say. We've heard him say it a lot when we talk to congressmen about the American Transportation Act and creating the money and spending it into circulation debt-free as a payment for roads and bridges. Yeah, well, boy, we want to learn more about it. But, you know, if as much as they ever want to learn about money, the Facebook thing probably won't go very far anyway, because our congressmen, they don't know anything about money. They don't want to know anything about money except where to get more of it so they can give it to their constituents so they can get votes.
Well, I don't know how they can create a new currency, because I tried that, and God, it made the bankers so mad, and the governor sent 42 cops out to kill me, highway patrolman, because I was trying to use my own currency, which is exactly what they was using. I had it based on the same thing. I had a trust that gave me the power to do that, just like they have. I used the exact same words they used to make the trust. In fact, that's where I got the intro, you know, how to build the trust was from their literature, right out of how they got in their trust. And yet, all of a sudden, man, I was a dangerous person, the most dangerous person in the state of South Dakota, and they had to come out and take me out to shut me up. Well, how in the world can these guys all of a sudden create new currency and not be a violation of the laws?
Well, it's because they're so big and they have billions and billions of dollars, Byron. And, you know, the people with the most money, they're the smartest ones. And they're our leaders, and they're the ones that we have to do what they want us to do.
Well, wait a minute. I don't even know what a dollar is, so how can they have billions of dollars if they can't even explain what one is?
Maybe they don't know, so that's why they got to create their own currency. They're going to call it Libra. And then they'll be able to tell you what a Libra is, but not a dollar. But I understand you can buy Libras with dollars, or those things that we use now. So I don't know what's wrong with our money now that we have to have a new currency. Does anybody have an idea?
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
like,
that's what I was wondering. If there's nothing wrong with our currency now, what do we have to have a new currency for? And I thought
the
government was the only one that could establish what was legal tender and what wasn't. And I've been told a lot of times after I started having my own promissory notes and was legally notes, and the lawyer had already told me, state's attorney, that it was legal tender in the state of South Dakota. But all of a sudden, when I did it, all of a sudden it wasn't in any sense what they told me it was. Everybody apparently lied to me, and it made such a stink. Well, now, how can they just step up and say, we've created a new currency? Isn't that a violation of federal law that only these other things are legal tender, and everybody told me I had to pay with legal tender or else?
Well, that might have been true in America, where they had consistent application of law. But see, we don't have consistent application of the law. The law works for some and not for others. It just kind of depends who you are. That's why, Byron, because we don't have any law, really. We just, depending if you got enough power and influence, you get to do whatever you want to do. And the reason they're up there,
our founding fathers said we was all equal, and the only thing that could make us all equal, it was a law applied to us all equally. It's the only possible way we could all be equal, is that we was all equal under the law, and the law is applied to everybody the same way as it is to anybody else. So obviously we have just gone wild in this country and don't even have a clue of how it's supposed to run even.
Exactly. That's exactly where we are. And I think the reason that they try to stop people from having a medium of exchange that they don't have to be in debt for is because then the people would be free from being obligated to the few that want to run everything according to the way they want to run it. And this is the problem, you know. We trying to be free from tyrants and trying to be free. And that's why they got on you about it, because now you could have a medium exchange without having to be in debt.
Well, apparently that made them awful excited, obviously. And it, yet, I just talked yesterday to a state legislator from Minnesota about this issue. And he reminded me that the people up there in downtown St. Paul say, well, it's not true that a state bank could create its own money and spend it, because that would be a violation of federal law. And I said, well, didn't you get my letter that included the conversation that I had with the FDIC personally about that state law controls state banks and the federal government has nothing to do with it? The only thing the federal government has to do with state-created money, you know, with state-chartered banks, is whether or not they have enough assets to back their loans. In other words, you can't any more loan out that the people have property. So obviously they must have it, and yet that's the only thing. And so I said, well, who's telling you that? And I said, they obviously don't know what they're talking about, because what I have is what they actually in writing, exactly what they told me. And the guy also that told me that said his superiors told him to tell me that. Well, now, how can that be wrong? And everybody else say, well, that's not true. Now, which one's the facts here? And I said, we're not talking about opinions here. We're talking about facts. And so then he agreed to meet me sometime after the 15th of July to talk about it. And I was talking about grants, you know, in other words, the state would pass a law that the state banks, chartered banks that they operate, that they control by law, would pass a law that says they need to create some money and grant it to the state for pay for the transportation and building of roads and things like that. And he asked me, well, why did I choose roads? And I said, well, because that's what they had to do was, the Congress was to coin the money and provide for post office and post roads. And the only way I know you can provide for post office is to spend the money to have the road built. And I've had people say, no, that wasn't right. They were just saying, well, this thing was going to be a kind of road. Well, I know a long time ago when they sent the Army out into the western, part of this country, well, they built forts. And I'm quite sure the soldiers built the forts, and I'm quite sure they got paid for it. Otherwise, in other words, when they went out to work to build the fort, well, they wouldn't get paid, but the other days they would get paid. So it's amazing what the people will think, but never stop to look to see what the facts could be. It's just amazing. So, Byron, Rule, don't you leave for right away, because Greg getting on anymore. Go ahead, Rule.
I have a theory surrounding this whole thing with Facebook, and I kind of get the sense that I have to say this carefully, but that technology and private corporations are getting bigger than the government, and the government is getting scared. So you have these corporations that are coming in, and they can basically do what they want, and when you have that much money and power and that much information on people, then you can, pretty much do what you want. Does that make sense?
Well, that's true. But, at the same token, aren't those companies also controlled by the banks? Because you can't tell me when they got all this money, they don't also have a lot of debt. because the Target I work at, they just had a renewal and renewed the whole store, rebuilt the whole store, just changed it. You can't even put in all new stuff and all different kinds of things, and you can't tell me they had the cash to do it, so they had to borrow the money to do it. Well, now it all, and I remember a long time ago when they had so much debt, they sold some of their debt to get money. It's amazing how all this works, and yet nobody ever stops and thinks about where the root cause, where the money actually comes from in the first place. And like, if these guys are going to, Facebook's going to have their own money, well, how can they call it money? I mean, I can see where they can give all kinds of things out. I mean, they can put out a certificate that says, you know, you can come back and you can buy that with this, but you have to get it from them. And if they're going to give it to you, and if they give it to you, and then you can go in and buy things at their store with it, well, obviously they're just giving away their merchandise, aren't they? Now, how can they stay wealthy that way? Like, I don't get it. Go ahead.
Well, that's what it looks like to me, and I almost get the sense that there's this emergence of a combination of government merging with corporations, because corporations have such a big influence that it's almost an inevitable move. Called lack of wisdom or stupidity, but there's just.
Well, for one reason, is because they have plenty of money to go lobby on the congressman. And I saw it a lot. I used to go down to the state capitol a lot in Minnesota, trying to get them to do something so they could, you know, they clearly owned the banks. That was clearly no question that they were controlled by state law. There was no dispute on that. Well, then why don't you cross-control them in this way so they also give some benefit to the people or to the state instead of always just giving loans out for their personal profit? And yet every one of them said they had to go ask the banks. And then another guy said to me, well, it's going to be awful hard to do this, Byron, because all these guys get their campaign money from banks. Well, isn't that kind of the same thing with the federal legislator? It takes lots of money to campaign nowadays, and they do it every other year. Well, who's got enough money, all of that, except the banks and the big corporations that they fund, that they give them unlimited amounts of loans if that's what they need to do to expand, to get bigger? And when you see one big outfit buy another one out for billions of dollars, you know that they didn't have that much cash on hand. And no way, so they had to go to the banks and borrow it. So then the same guys come in and lobby with these congressmen that also need all this money every 2 years, and it's got to come from somebody that's got that kind of money. Bernie Sanders says, well, he's getting his all from small donations, but I get emails from him, and man, he said, these other guys just got a ton of money from big money people, and I'm just trying to get it for you guys, so man, a lot of you have got to give me more money for me to stay in the race.
Right.
It's amazing. Are you back now, Greg?
Oh. I'm trying to be. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. That's I just wondered because I hear you, and it's up there now. But
yeah, I don't know.
I just wanted to make sure I got everything going right.
Yeah,
and
I
also,
don't know.
Also, if it's okay, we have another guest on now that I'd like to bring on. 612-529-5253. Are you there? Do you have a question or comment?
Good morning, Byron or Greg. It's Leslie Davis. A little late, but better late than never. glad you guys are on the case again.
I kind of thought that was maybe you, but go ahead.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
Leslie Davis, this is a rule out in Nebraska. I've watched you a lot, and I appreciate what you're doing, and it's a pleasure to be on with you today as well.
Well, great. Thanks a lot. It's been pretty quiet out there, not on my end. I've been letting everybody know about the plan to create wealth money, but nobody wants to respond back. But, you know, that's nothing new for you guys. You've been experiencing this for 20 years now. But I think I think we're going to get through to them. You know, it's getting closer. This debt just keep piling up. So we're going to have to do something about it. We can't just keep going the same old way.
And so just to be, for people to know for sure, Leslie Davis, he's running for U.S. Congress in Congressional District 5 in Minnesota. And so if you're in Minnesota, if you're in that district, Leslie's the guy you want to be voting for, because he's one that will help us change the way money's put into circulation and make your life a whole lot better. He will, by doing this, first of all, you're gonna have lower taxes. You won't have any fuel taxes to pay when you go to the pump. Your freight charges will be less on goods and services that you buy. Your personal savings will increase. Your net take-home pay will increase, and hopefully we'll have more fairness and justice and have an America like we're supposed to have. So remember the name, Leslie Davis, Congressional District 5, Minnesota.
And next week on Wednesday,
Leslie,
the 26th.
Do you have anybody running against you? Do you have anybody?
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say. On the 26th, the Republican Party has invited the candidates that want to run in this district to their offices for an interview on the 26th Wednesday. And I understand there are about 3, 4, or 5 people that want to do this. I know 3 for sure, me and 2 others, but somebody told me that there are 2 others. So we'll see what happens Wednesday next week when they call us in for an interview. And I'm trying to get the Republican Party to endorse me early on so we could start to raise the money needed for this campaign. Because, you know, the DFL has controlled this district for the last 56 years. And they're really they're not the liberal portion of the DFL party. They're the leftists. And, you know, a lot of people, I'm having an enjoyable time explaining to people the difference between a leftist and a liberal. And some people thought there was no difference over the years, but now they're starting to understand it and also look it up on the internet, the difference between a leftist and a liberal. A liberal is not really that bad a person, and they're really not far away from our thoughts of freedom and wealth, money, and things like that. But these leftists are a real problem. They don't even think there's a difference between a man and a woman. So they're really a sick bunch. And that's the Bernie Sanders type of people.
When I was going,
but
I'm
an old man, and I have never seen anybody running around except either they're male or female.
Yeah, but if you're a leftist, you don't see it that way. Yeah,
well,
you just kind of see.
I guarantee, if you take down their pants, you can sure in hell tell.
Well, you know, they can have that. They can have that removed if they need to. You know, they're just a really weird bunch. And even no matter what you do with a leftist, you can't get them off that position that they have. So beware of that there's a major difference between a leftist and a liberal. The liberals are really not as much of an enemy of ours as I thought they were, but the leftists are really a problem. So
how far to the left is a communist?
Yeah.
I just wondered, because when I went to public school, you know, the government schools where we were forced to pay taxes to fund the education that we get or don't get. And anyway, way back probably in 66, 67, back in there, they was telling us that the farther to the left that you go, the more communist you become. So I just wanted to know. I just wondered if that's how it works. It seems to me that's kind of how it works, is we used to have Democrats, then they went and turned into liberals, then it kind of went to leftists, and then you got, I don't know, then does it go socialist, communist? I don't know. How does it go?
Yeah, I don't know all of that stuff, but I know that if the Republicans get with me, this is a real embedded leftist district, but if we get a strong enough start and we show people how damaging the leftist entity is. You know, I live in the area of Minnesota, especially in Minneapolis, black people up here, and they vote 88% for the DFL, but they don't know that the DFL is this leftist group that is really destroying their lives instead of helping their lives. So if I can get a good run at it and get an okay from the Republicans next week that they're going to help me along, then we can put the word out and we can start to raise the money nationally that's going to need it to get this embedded bunch of leftists out of here with their toxic Islamist congresswoman. So I'm working hard. I'm working hard on this thing, and I sure appreciate your guys' help and the information I keep getting from you. This is great, Greg. This Roads and Bridges thing is going to really put us over the top. So I appreciate your help very much.
Well, great. We appreciate the work you're doing, Leslie, and we appreciate the fact you called in and shared some time with us today.
Yeah.
What I don't understand, if we have thousands and millions of people trying to come into this country because it's such a great country, and most of them live in some socialist countries, now, and they're coming here, or dictatorships, and they're coming here because it's a great country. Why would all these people want to then go and change this country back to what they came from? If it's a great country to come from, why don't they want to keep it that way instead of change it into the socialist and dictator type thing, governments that they come from to get here? I just can't get that at all. I don't understand the concept. Man, if I went someplace because it was better, I sure wouldn't want to change into what I just left.
Yeah.
Well, they're called the enemy within. That's what they're coming here for. They're not coming home here for freedom and a good life and all of that. They're coming here to try to change America to what they think it should be. So I call them the enemy within, and they're embedded in everything now. They're taxi drivers, bus drivers. They're working at the post office. You can see them all over the place. Even where I get my medical care at the VA, you even see them around there. So they're embedding themselves into all these essential services throughout, and it's a serious problem. They're a serious group of people and very dangerous. And their problem is that you can't be with them because they're just not flexible. The Islamists have three ways to deal. Either with them, or you serve them, or you're dead. Those are the three choices you have with them, because they don't believe in life and enjoying and a wonderful America. They're focused on the hereafter. Their whole life is predicated on doing things now that are going to enhance their life in the hereafter. They're not with us now. They're not here living and enjoying this life. They're just a miserable bunch of people, and they're very, very dangerous because they're in the hereafter. They think that life will be more beautiful after they're dead. Well, it may be, but we don't have any proof or any evidence of that, and I'm not willing to test it. At least not prematurely.
Well, if you do test it, you might find out there might not even be one.
And the 72 virgin probably won't even be there.
Yeah. Well,
imagine the ignorance of people thinking that kind of thing, that a man is thinking something like that, and he's living his life based on the fact that in the hereafter he's going to have 72 virgins. Just the fact that they think of that or they say that out loud is absurd. So they're just really a ridiculous bunch of folks, and we need to be well aware that they are the most dangerous thing we'll face in our life, because they're absolutely nuts thinking that.
Well, man, what would you do with 72 women?
Well, they don't say they're women. They just say they're virgins.
Oh, okay.
Get themselves a virgin donkey.
Old. I don't get all this stuff.
Well, they can get a virgin donkey. You know, they're just really a weird bunch of people, and they're dangerous. Their problem is, you know, we have an option. I can go into a church or a synagogue or any place else, and I can be what I want. They can't. They have to submit to the doctrine. If they don't submit to the doctrine, then they can be killed. And that's their teaching. They get that in their mother's milk. So what are you going to do with somebody like that? It's just a dangerous, dangerous situation. They're not a peace-loving bunch of people. So I don't know what we're going to do.
I thought if you were trying to destroy our government, our constitutional government, that was treason. And I thought they hung people who were involved in treason. That's what I was taught. Is that not true anymore?
It is to me.
That's what the law was in America. You know, America used to, they had a law like that in a country they called America.
Yeah. Well,
so I don't know where we're living right now, but Leslie boils the whole thing down to the truth of the matter is with the Islamic ideal, the idea is that their Quran, which is their instruction manual, so to speak, on where to do things, instructs the followers of Islam, and we don't know which ones really are following it to a T, but it instructs them to terrorize and kill those who do not believe in Allah or submit to Islam, period. So our God-given unalienable right to life in America that our Declaration of Independence states is not valid for the Islamic people who follow the Quran. It is only conditional. Your right to life in America now, according to them, is if you believe in Allah and submit to Islam, period. Now, that's what Leslie's basically boiling down this down to, is that Islam is a domestic enemy. And we have to understand this because we just, you know, we're for immigration that's legal and done properly, but you don't want people here who may want to kill you or harm you, and there's a lot of those things going on, but the media doesn't identify them as Islamic.
Because they're the left.
They
the media is the left. They're not the liberals.
Well,
they're not
but
the
even the left, as I understand it, are clearly anti-constitutional people. They want to get rid of the Constitution. They want to get rid of this and that and everything else. Well, you know, isn't that war upon this country? I mean, I know war, a lot of times they think about it has to have a gun, but you can war against people without having guns.
Absolutely.
You can overcome
them. You could war against the people by controlling the medium of exchange, I'll bet.
Well, what kind of people?
I think that's the biggest weapon of all.
What kind of people are not totally appalled at the destruction of 62 million unborn babies? I mean, imagine, it's not, you know, sometimes there's a question, well, a girl makes a mistake or there's an accident or they didn't take proper precautions and sometimes an abortion happens and so on. But 62 million? It has to be something like a plan. You couldn't even plan something like that. And that's the left is totally supportive of that. You would think that somebody would shed a tear for all those poor unborn little babies, but not even a whimper from them. They're almost proud of it, you know, that this woman has the right to protect her own body. But I heard a very good discussion the other day.
Well, she
where
does.
A guy made
she didn't want babies. She didn't have to have sex with a man. It's pretty clear.
Well, but I don't get into that only because a guy said to me the other day, he said, when I'm walking past the backyard of a guy and he's beating his dog in the backyard, he's beating his dog with a baseball bat, and I call the police, and should I say nothing? And the guy's beating his dog. Of course I'm going to say something. I'm going to intervene to try to protect the dog. And here we've aborted in America 62 million babies with the blessing and the support of millions of people. It's outrageous. So I want to get on the road and I want to start talking to people. I said, listen, get a hold of your brain, man. If you're going to destroy all these fetuses and you're going to destroy our education and you're going to say there's not a difference between a man and a woman, come on, think of it. Because your mind is everything. And what you think you become. So become a decent person and vote for us and get these lunatics out of office. And that's the only thing we can do now. And maybe we can bring people to their senses. I said, don't tell your family and your friends and your neighbors who you're voting for because they'll fight you. You just go in and vote and tell them, oh, yeah, I voted for the lunatic Islamist and all of that. Don't tell them that you're voting for me because they'll think that you're crazy because it's a good vote. So I'm hoping
that's
the Republicans
right.
Next week will realize this, that a good candidate and we've got a chance to take back this district. You know, the Democrats have held it for 56 years, and they're a bunch of smug, arrogant leftists, and we need to knock them out of office, and I can do it. I'm revved up to do it. I just need the Republican Party not to stand in my way. So we'll see what happens next Wednesday.
Well, and the other thing, too,
well,
Leslie,
I hope the Republican Party isn't actually leftist in disguise. I see a lot of that. I mean, they clearly
are a little
not
wimpy,
honest Republicans who believe in what we're supposed to believe in this country. I don't think that. It's kind of interesting, these legislators, how really corrupt they are. You know, it's the same old thing. They get their money from a banker, and so then they got to do what the banker wants them to do, or they won't get the money next time. I had one.
Byron, did you hear back from Representative Greg Davids?
I talked to him yesterday.
Okay.
We're going to have a meeting. Sometime after the 15th of July. He's going to be out of the country for a while, but when he gets back, and then we're to have talk and have a meeting in the cities here.
Okay, because I've been leaving him messages all week, and he's not getting back to me, so I'm glad you spoke with him, because I thought he said we were going to meet in June.
I called him yesterday, and he answered the phone, and we had a discussion.
Oh, terrific.
And I said,
okay.
I said, well, you know, did you get my book, you know, the Tales from the Treasury, and did you get my little thing that I sent him from, you know, the actual message that the FDIC gave me personally? And they also said right on it, that that's what my people above me told me to tell you, you know, the people that's, you know, helping me tell. Those people told me to tell you this. And he said, well, they don't agree that that's the way it works down at the Capitol. And I said, well, I don't give a damn what they think. We're talking about facts here. This is an actual fact that they've sent me in writing after they give me to me in person. Now, are you going to just fool around with people who have some kind of a cockeyed idea or a concept? Or are you going to deal with what the facts are?
Uh-huh. Did he get the Tales of the Treasury?
He did, and he said he read it. And I said, well, did it say this and did it say that? And he said, yes. Well, didn't this other thing from the FDIC, they say this? And he said, yes. Well, then who the hell are you going to believe? Some idiot up there. And he said, don't call them idiots. I said, what the hell else are they?
Uh-huh.
If they're not idiots,
understand.
The hell are they fooling around with things that aren't true? And that's, he said, well, as soon as I get back, you call me and we'll have a meeting right after the 15th of July.
Well,
and that's all
he's delaying and stalling.
I have no idea what's going to happen after that.
Okay, well, we're doing the best we can. I spoke with the secretary on Monday, and she said, well, he'll be in the office on Tuesday. And I left more messages, and he just never returned my call. So he's certainly not in our corner at this point. So I'm kind of working a little harder with the Department of Transportation. The Federal Highway Administration said that it should go over to Treasury, and I'm trying to get a name from the Department of Treasury to contact. So they're shuffling me around a little bit, and I understand that, and I'll put up with it, but I need to get a name at the Treasury Department to move it on to. Maybe it will be good one of these days when I get that name from the Department of the Treasury, the federal, we can send them that book, Tales of the Treasury, so they know what they're there in Washington to do. They're not just there to rubber stamp the debt. They're there to help us have a good,
well,
profitable
that's what they're
state.
There for. A show last week about people having trouble with, you know, foreclosures, and every one of them said it was so clear that the courts were just corrupt as hell. They didn't care. One guy said, well, they couldn't even prove that they owed him, but the judge said to Stelly he had to pay him. Well, why would we have to pay him? They don't even have any evidence that I owe them. Well, because they made a claim. And see, this is part of the problem, because our court system has got so absolutely, absolutely corrupt that there is no law. It's just whatever they want. It's just whatever the judge says that day is law. And I had an attorney general tell me that. Well, you know, whatever the word that comes out of the mouth of a judge is law. And boy, if anything's unconstitutional, that is. They was given the power to have opinions, not pass laws or enforce laws. They have no enforcement power.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
that's what they do. I mean, that's where we've gotten this country. That's how far down the tube we've gotten this country, and how much we're controlled by the same people all the time. Because when it comes to the issue of money, then all of a sudden it's forbidden to be talked about. That's really what.
Well, we're
going to
take it back. We're going to take it back now. They're not going to get away with this anymore, and we're going to get the Republican Party back on their toes, and they're sitting back on their heels now. But we're going to get them on their toes, and we're going to take them on, and we're going to change. We're not going to put up with this stuff, taking people's houses and
more debt.
I
totally agree with you, and I'm backing you, and hope it happens.
Well, we're going to go get them, and I need to make an announcement. But, you know, they're not anxious to announce that Leslie Davis is running because I've got too good a record. I'm an Army veteran. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I paid my taxes for decades, and I've done this Earth Protector work, and we're ready to fight them, and I'm ready to go. So
they sure in the hell ought to get behind you, because if they really do want to be anything but what just rhinos is what most of them are, they're just – hey, they're not really Republicans. They're just, well, one worlders, all of them, right behind the banks, and the banks tell them what to do. And it's time that changes.
We're going to give them a chance, and we're going
to
mow down the opposition.
People in Minnesota wake up.
Because they have no story, and people are starting to understand that. They see the broken families. They see what's going on over here.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to change now coming up, and we're going to do it. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done.
So.
Yeah, well,
I agree with that.
We'll give
it
our best shot.
Well, anytime you want to come on the show and talk about it a little bit, you're sure welcome.
Well, let's see what happens next week with the on Wednesday afternoon. I'm going to meet with the Republicans, and we'll see if I can get them to fall in love with me. Well, that's quite a challenge.
Most important thing at all, the people who get to create the money at no cost to themselves and a debt to everybody else should not be allowed to survive in this country.
Uh-huh. Okay, amen to that.
Okay, well, I guess that's it. Rule, do you have anything else to say before we close up? It's getting about that time.
Yeah, real quick here, and to Leslie, too. I had a conversation with a couple attorneys last week, and, of course,
with a couple of what?
Attorneys.
Oh, attorneys, okay.
Yeah, they've been attorneys for 30-something years, and a husband and wife, they both are teachers and graduates from Oxford, whatnot. And, you know, look, what's interesting, we had this conversation about educating foreigners in our country. And I've taught for 20-something years of my life at the federal level, state level, what have you. And I saw a lot of foreigners being taught free of charge in our country. And I brought that up. And they said, well, I'd rather have that than this military-industrial complex going out and doing what they're doing. They said there's more than enough money, you know, to help everybody. And they said that's what we should be concerned about is, you know, all this other side of spending, and they said there's enough money to go around to, you know, for welfare purposes, and they told me not to worry about it. So that's what you're up against.
Well, if that's the case, where did all this money come from, and how come people are so deep in debt if they've got all this money to take care of things?
Yeah. How come we need all them social programs?
That's what you're pointing at.
Right.
And how come,
thanks,
I mean, man, I read an article the other day that works. It took $875 now that's what it cost to have a baby calf go to where it was old enough to be weaned and sold. And I just can't understand how that could possibly be true. And if that's true, how in the hell could you possibly stay in the business? Because I don't think that they sell for that much. I haven't been able to find out anybody from, you know, what they're paying for calves nowadays or what they will this fall in October, you know, in that area, you know, but when most of them go to town. And if they're not paying that much, well, it's impossible to make a living when you're selling at a loss.
Yeah, you can't last long doing that.
Care about these things?
Yeah.
It's impossible to stay in business doing that.
Yeah.
And then they went ahead in that same email I got, how much, not many billions of dollars the farmers in debt over what they was a year ago. And you can get
out of they're breaking us,
you
know, they're breaking us and they're bringing in, you know, look at the problem Europe is having now in Germany and and England, you know, all through Germany and England and France, they're all having these migrants pouring into their countries, and they say they got these ISIS people mixed in with them coming in, just like we have them coming across from the south. You got these MS-13 gangsters coming in, so we need to kind of cool it now on this whole immigration thing. We need to hold up and reevaluate where we're going and what we're doing and where we see America in the next 30, 40 years. It's not looking good, so we need to get on the ball.
It won't be in America that we've known. It just won't America that we've known that when I grew up in won't even exist. I'm not even sure it exists anymore either. I was taught you could go to court, and if you would prove you was right, you could win, but I've had personal experience of that. That's not truthful at all. They bribe the jury. They do anything they have to win. Well,
we had a federal judge.
That's the kind of country that I was supposed to be raised in.
We had a federal judge in a case that I had in federal court, and he just went right against rulings of the Supreme Court, which says that a judge on the district court can't make a decision on an affidavit that a person submits. That's for a jury to do. But the judge in our case, he made a decision on an affidavit, and we appealed it, and they just ignored it because they're not going to overturn their buddy usually. So I know what you're talking about, Byron. I've experienced it myself. But
well,
we're going to change it now,
coming up. I had a court case where the jury was all there, but the judge made the decision and did away with the case, and the jury wasn't even allowed to make it even come back into the court again.
He can check.
He would have your right to jury trial.
Right.
Yeah. Then on this show yesterday, it was clear. Every one of them, above all else, they talked about how corrupt the court system was that they was in. Every one of them. And there was a lot of people there listening to the show that was with that group last week, and they all basically said the same thing, that the courts was the most corrupt thing they'd ever seen. With that, I guess we'll close the show for today. I think it's getting about that time. And if anyone has any last remarks to say, please say it and let me know, and then we'll go ahead and thank the people for listening to the show today.
I just want to say people go ahead and visit. Go ahead and visit wealthmoney.org. There's some new things there, and you can learn more about what we've been talking about.
Thank you.
Thank you, and goodbye, and thanks, everybody, for being with the show and listening to the show.
Greg wants to thank you for listening to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Please visit our website at wealthmoney.org. We would appreciate your support by purchasing the books and materials. Don't just purchase the books, but study the information we have presented and tell others the truth of our debt-based system, the problems interest causes, and the slavery it promotes. Thank you for your support.